Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Growing up, I was deeply immersed in the Star Trek universe. And not just the Next Generation with Sir Patrick Stewart. No, I'm also talking about the original series with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock. And the very first episode of the original series was called The Man Trap, in which an alien shapeshifter survived on sucking the salt out of people. It was the last creature of its kind, and it was desperate to survive. It needed salt, or it would perish. Good morning. It's good to be back from the Holy Land and in the Republic of Texas. You are the salt of the earth. I'm sure most of us don't wake up every morning thinking about our saltiness. We've got bigger issues to be concerned about, right? Getting to work on time, making sure the kids are ready for school and that they're fed, drinking multiple cups of coffee to get our bodies going. But our own saltiness, we don't think much of it. Yet maybe we should. This morning we have a well-known passage of Scripture that is frequently disconnected and cut off from the bit that comes right before it, a little section known as the Beatitudes. You see, in North American Christianity, we love to cut and paste the Bible. Have you noticed this? Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, and the world hates the light." A.W. Mays in Austin, Texas, spoke once about a streetlight in a high-crime area where the residents of the community petitioned the city of Austin to put up streetlights to address the crime situation. Once the lights were installed, the crime subsided for a season until someone knocked them out, allowing crime to resume once more. This happened repeatedly, over and over and over again, until the city eventually gave up and left that area unlit, to the dismay and the anger of the petitioners and the residents. The world hates the light. Jesus makes this abundantly clear right before our passage begins when he says, God blesses you. God blesses you. When people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you, because you are my followers. And there we have it. Jesus has just begun his famous Sermon on the Mount overlooking the Sea of Galilee. The crowds have come to him. Word had gotten out about his preaching and his teaching and his healing ministry. Many had seen him in action. Many had heard him preach and teach with authority. Many had seen him heal again and again and again, but they had not believed in him. And here we see, here we realize that seeing is not always believing. It's absolutely heartbreaking. It's gut-wrenching. It's devastating. For even I have witnessed this in our own day, when people experience the power of God in their lives and yet they simply refuse to give him homage. Yet the crowds come to Jesus. They come to him. But who do you think his sermon is for? Is it for the crowds? No. It is for those who have and who will make Jesus their king. It is for followers of Jesus. It is for disciples of Jesus. And so his famous sermon begins with the Beatitudes, and truthfully, all of them define the very first one given. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For those who have made Jesus their king, the Beatitudes define what life in that kingdom is like. It's an upside-down kingdom, quite contrary and different from the way of the world. Whereas the world wants rewards now, it's me first, gotta have it now. The Beatitudes point toward a future reality to come, a future time that is coming. Already the kingdom has broken into our world with the first coming of the Messiah, but there is a not yet reality of the kingdom which we all await. The consummation is ahead, and it is not far off. So be ready. Yet the Beatitudes conclude with this: be happy about being rejected for following Jesus, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. It is in this context that Jesus calls his followers, those who have made him their king, salt and light. Therefore, on this fifth Sunday in the season of Epiphany, let us meditate on this wonderful and this marvelous declaration that Jesus makes about us, his people. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It's on page 579. The crowds have come to Jesus, but he's teaching his disciples, his followers. They will be persecuted for his sake, yet all the while they will be the world's salt and the world's light. They will not attempt at striving at being this. They will not strive to be salt. They will not strive to be light. They are salt. They are light. Jesus is declaring them so to be. If we live under Jesus' kingly rule, if we abide under the banner of his lordship, then we will be salt and light. Hear this another way. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Salt preserves, it purifies, and it brings out flavor. That's what Jesus declares us to be as his followers. If we live and move and have our being under his kingship, under his lordship, we are salt and we are light. Can you pass the salt? And this is a big, big deal because Jesus, right here, is redefining Israel. I want to say that again. Right here in this sermon, Jesus is redefining Israel. Jesus is giving a new teaching here. He's giving a new instruction here. Israel was oftentimes referred to as salt in the Old Testament. They certainly had a role to play in purifying the nations of the world, but guess what? They frequently reject this high calling. This will never, ever, ever be with the church, because disciples live daily underneath the covenant love and the kingdom authority and power of Jesus Christ. The you here in our passage is a plural you. In Pittsburgh, it would be yins. In Texas, it would be y'all. But it's us. You, us. And the world knows when the church is not being salt. It knows a real follower of Jesus when it sees one. I recently had a discussion with an Orthodox Jewish rabbi about his understanding of the Messiah. This guy was brilliant. I mean, PhD, author of several books, a successful businessman. But in the discussion, he made a comment about followers of Jesus not looking anything like Jesus. We've heard this before. Heard it from Gandhi and people in our own society. What good is salt? What good is it if it has lost its flavor? We do not just accept Jesus' kingship over us one day and then forget him every other day hence. We accept his kingship over us every single day. We crucify our flesh every single day. We take up our cross and follow him. What? Every single day. If we say we are his followers, his disciples, yet in reality we practice something completely different, we will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. Capiche? The world knows if we are truly his followers. So Jesus declares his people to be salt, but he also declares them to be light. This is so very important. Where does this light come from? Where does it come from? It comes from him. It comes from him. Jesus is the light of the world. We reflect and mirror his light. And we can only do this once his light has lit up our lives. I gave this illustration on Christmas Day, but I'll share it once more for all of you sleepyheads who weren't there. The light of the Christ candle, the light of the Christ candle must light up the candle of our lives. It is his light that we reflect into the world. And guess what? It's not to be hidden. Indeed, it cannot be hidden. It's visible, it's public, and it's for the whole world. The church father John Chrysostom once said that we are the light of the world not for a single nation, nor of 20 cities, but of the entire inhabited earth. And where Jesus gives this sermon, there are hills all over the place. He's using the landscape, the setting, as a sermon illustration. A city on one of these hills could not be hidden, especially at night when the lights of that city would be evident to all. Hear this passage in another way. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, in other words, if I light you up, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Shine. The light of Jesus is going to shine forth from us because of authentic faith, or what we Anglicans would call it, true, lively faith. This is what happens when we actually enter into God's kingdom and live underneath Jesus' kingly rule. And as the light of Jesus reflects from us to this dark world, people will see our authenticity and praise our Heavenly Father. In the middle of the 3rd century AD, there was a terrible plague that hit the Roman Empire, and many, many people died. Pagans and doctors fled the cities to avoid the disease, but it was the Christians who stayed behind and helped those who were ill and who were dying. Eusebius, a church historian, states that because of the Christians' compassion in the midst of the plague, the Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. You are salt for the earth, and you are light for the world. Even though the world will persecute you as it did the prophets before you, as it did Jesus, as it did the apostles to the faithful this very day, there will be some who see you living underneath Jesus' kingship and his authority, and they will praise God the Father, which means and implies that they will be brought into right relationship with him because you've made Jesus your king. And that, my friends, is exactly what the priestly people of God are called to be in this world, salt and light. But at this point in the sermon, a lot of preachers would apply this text by asking their congregations, how are you being salt? How are you being light? But that's not the point. Just trying harder doesn't bear lasting fruit. People try, they get frustrated, and eventually the Dr. Phil question has to be asked, and how's that working out for you? No, the point is simply this. Do you live underneath the kingship and the authority of Jesus daily? Because if you've made him your king today and every day, you will be salt and you will be light. You can't live underneath his kingship daily and be a part of the kingdom of heaven and not be salt and light. But here's where we have to focus our eyes on our North American context, and specifically in our San Antonio context. Are Christians living daily underneath the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ? I don't think it's any mystery to how I would answer this question. The world knows the real McCoy when it sees it. The world needs our saltiness. There's a reason why I started today with that image from Star Trek. I just didn't throw it out of the hat for nothing. The world needs and craves our saltiness, regardless if it realizes it or not. It is desperate for our salt. We are to purify, to preserve, to bring flavor. We can't be that if we're calling the shots, if we see ourselves as king. We can only be salt if we have surrendered and yielded our lives to Jesus. We can only be salt having realized that we really are poor in spirit. But what of reflecting the light? A man once noticed that in the darkest corner of his basement, some potatoes had sprouted and were growing. Couldn't figure out exactly how that was taking place because there wasn't a whole lot of sunlight in the basement. But then he noticed that hanging from the ceiling near the basement window, there was a shiny copper kettle that was brightly polished. It was in the perfect position to reflect the sun's rays onto the potatoes in that dark, dark corner. Are we not like that copper kettle reflecting the light of Jesus in this dark, dark world? Salt and light. This is what Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord of all, declares his followers to be. Follow your king. Follow your king each and every day. Follow him to this table. Follow him to your home, to your neighborhood, to your workplace. Follow him all your days, through this life into the life to come. Follow him. Let him be your king, now and forever. Give him your best. Give him your all, and know who you are in him, who we are in him, salt and light. Let us pray. Almighty God, by whose grace alone we are accepted and called to your service, strengthen us by your Holy Spirit and make us worthy of our calling, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.